Who here has read Bhagavad Gita? Okay, good. What's Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita? Become my devotee. Okay. Surrender, in one word, Krishna's lesson, Krishna's message in the entire Bhagavad Gita. Have you read Bhagavad Gita, Prabhu? Okay, good. So for those of you who haven't read Bhagavad Gita, we'll just make it real succinct for you. It can be summarized in one word, surrender, with an exclamation point after it. So this word surrender conjures up many kind of mind. Surrender sounds like I have to admit defeat. I have to throw in the towel, as they say, fly the white flag, and submit myself to the enemy, almost like slavery or something. So this word surrender is a little difficult one for us to accept. So today I wanted to actually concentrate on this very simple point. Today, this weekend's retreat theme is about acceptance and progress. So the point that I want to emphasize today is accepting the fact that we have to surrender. Now, it might seem like, well, geez, that's, you know, sophomoric or something, you know, but actually, do we accept the fact that we have to surrender? And because of our reluctance to surrender, so many other problems arise that we have difficulty accepting. So this word surrender should not conjure up bad connotations in our mind. Prabhupada actually says in his purport to Bhagavad Gita 12.5 that this surrendering process is called bhakti. So I'm sure if I asked who here is performing or wants to perform bhakti, everybody would raise their hand. But Prabhupada's saying the surrendering process is bhakti. So we can't actually perform bhakti without undergoing the surrendering process properly. So who does not surrender? There's lots and lots of people in this world. So who does not surrender to Krishna? Nitaipriya. Okay, Nitaipriya is saying somebody with ego. The Duskritis, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.15, right? That there's four types of people that don't surrender to him. And they're considered miscreants. They're the lowest of mankind. They're mudhas. They're, you know, their knowledge has been stolen by illusion. They're of asuric or demonic mentality or influence. Naradhama, lowest of mankind. So people in those four categories, yes, because they have this ego. This is why they have that ego, because they fall into these four categories. And also, people who might not fall into those four categories, but they're influenced by people in those four categories. In other words, there's a lot of innocent people in the world who don't surrender to Krishna, because they're being influenced by these four who aren't innocent. Okay? Now, what about us? We hopefully don't fall into the category of those four miscreants. We're actually trying, to some extent, to be Krishna's devotee. Yet if we honestly look within our heart, and let's all do that as a homework assignment. I think somebody's going to be speaking about self-honesty this weekend. So as a part of our homework assignment, let's look within our heart and see, have I really surrendered? And surrendered means fully surrendered. Just like, have you ever met somebody on Sankirtan and, you know, so are you a vegetarian? You know, you might ask them, are you a vegetarian? I'm half vegetarian. It's like, what? It's either all or nothing. Either you're vegetarian or you're not vegetarian, you know. So either you're surrendered or you're not surrendered. The real definition of the word surrendered means fully 100%. Okay? So why do we, who are actually trying to be devotees, find ourselves not fully surrendering? I mean, Krishna says it right there in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto me. But we don't, if we honestly introspect, we don't find ourselves really doing that. So what's the reason? Leela Mundry. We're afraid that we don't trust Krishna, right? We don't really trust him. If some guy on the street just comes up to you, hey, surrender, you know, you don't trust that person, right? So we don't even trust Krishna. Okay, what else? Right. Right. Still lack of trust. Mm-hmm. You showed an undenied. I'm sorry? Maya's being tricky, tricking you. Maya's tricking you, yes? You showed an undenied. Fear, yeah, we've said that. Fear, mistrust. Not knowing how to surrender. That's a really good one. We're going to get into that one later. We keep false shelters instead. Weakness of heart. Prabhupada summed it up in one phrase. Okay, two more. Not accepting that I'm a spirit soul, right? Just ignorance of loss of control. One more. Okay. Yeah. So Prabhupada summed it up in one phrase. He said, why don't we surrender? Two words. Causeless unwillingness. So we're all coming up with causes, right? When I said, why don't we surrender? We all came up with excuses. Oh, I can't trust Krishna, right? I don't have enough information about my spiritual being, etc., etc. You know, Prabhupada said, no, it's causeless unwillingness. That's the bottom line. So, Prabhupada says in his purport to Bhagavad Gita 1866, the famous verse, Sarvadharmam Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, just surrender unto me, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Prabhupada says, one should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, that means trust, one should surrender unto him. So, what's happening is, due to causeless unwillingness, we are harboring doubts. We are harboring doubts about Krishna's direct instruction and Prabhupada's very emphatic instruction that one should unhesitatingly accept Krishna. You'll be happy to know, though, that you're in good company, because Arjuna himself hesitated in surrendering. It's not just little old us, but even big devotees like Arjuna. So the question is, why should we surrender? Arjuna also had this question. Why should I surrender? Krishna said, surrender. And Arjuna just came back with, why? Right? You have that with your children, right? That you should go, you know, do this thing. And the child immediately says, why? So Arjuna also was like that. Why should I surrender? And he actually spent a long time politely arguing with Krishna, coming up with many, many, many very intelligent and logical reasons why he shouldn't surrender and excuses. So maybe we should convince ourselves Yashodhanandana Prabhu said, maybe we don't know how to surrender. Okay, but we also might not even understand that we should surrender. So why should we surrender to Krishna? Okay, for a very selfish reason that we'll be happy. Because we are his part and parcels. It's our constitutional position. One back there. Krishna is our master. Ajita? Yeah, that's, you can't have a loving relationship without it. Uma? Krishna will be happy. Yeah, so, okay, Vishakha, one more. Very good. He's the root of the tree, so we should water the root of the tree. So, yes, those are all good points. One more.
If we don't surrender to Krishna, we have to surrender to Maya.
Yeah, we're always surrendering. See, that's the whole point. We ask, why should I surrender? Fool, you are surrendered. You know? Just who or what are you surrendered to? But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives a few reasons why, what results we get from surrendering. So you gave many nice philosophical reasons why we should surrender, because we're parts and parcels. Krishna's the root of the tree. We don't have any other choice. You're going to surrender somewhere, you know? So Krishna gives some, like, results of surrendering along the line of what Leela Manjari said about we'll be happy. Krishna says it's actually, you know, in our best interest. Well, Prabhupada said this in 1863. He says, surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. Krishna, Gita 3, chapter 3, text 30 and 31, he says that if you surrender all your works unto me, you'll become free from the bondage of fruit of activities. We're all stuck in the bondage. And then he's in 7:14, that's a famous verse, right? Daivyesha gunamai mama maya daratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayame tam tarantite. That if you surrender to me, then and only then can you be free from the influence of the three modes of material nature. And if you're free from the influence of the three modes of material nature, then you're necessarily free from the threefold miseries of material existence. And then on a little higher level, Krishna says that if you surrender to me, you'll be free from all doubts. Maya sakta manar partha yogam yunjan marashraya asamshayam samagram mam yatatachtachi chanu. That if you surrender to practicing the bhakti yoga system, which I'm about to outline, Arjuna, then you can know me in full, free from all doubts. You don't have, so many people here were saying, fear, doubts, not knowing what's next. Okay, we're full of doubts. And because we harbor doubts, we can't surrender. So Krishna's saying, just hear, O Partha, how by practicing sadhana bhakti, you can be free from all doubts. You can know me in full, free from all doubts. And then what happens? Then Krishna says in the famous verse of 1855, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas yashmita tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. That when you know me in full, free from all doubts, what happens? You come and live directly with me. So this is why we should surrender. To attain that perfection of Krishna consciousness. So how does one undertake the surrendering process? We may now be convinced, yes, Krishna's convinced me in Bhagavad Gita that I should surrender. Okay, let's go do it. What does it look like? What do you do? How do we surrender? Leela Manjari. Okay, we take shelter of devotee of Krishna. That's that is surrendering. Surrendering to Krishna means surrendering to his devotee.
All right, well, how do I surrender to Krishna's devotee? You know, because I don't surrender to anybody, right? So how am I going to, how do I like make the first step in surrendering? Okay, one more, Vishakha.
Following instructions.
Well, when I'm surrendered, I follow instructions, right?
You give me instructions, I don't follow them because I'm not surrendered. So Krishna, okay, one more. You showed another one. Okay, that's very good.
That fits in.
Krishna himself explains how to begin. Everything's in Bhagavad Gita. We're only quoting from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita explains how to start the surrendering process. So before you can start something, you have to have some maybe prerequisite qualifications. Right? You have to have some prerequisite qualifications. Here's what Krishna says you need. So this is from Bhagavad Gita 15.5. But before I read that verse, one sentence out of Prabhupada's purport to 1863, Prabhupada says that before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. In other words, one's not being asked to blindly surrender. One's actually being asked, and Krishna did this with Arjuna, one's actually being asked to take their intelligence and study the subject matter. Why we should surrender, who we should surrender to, how do we surrender, what are the results of surrender, etc. What are the obstacles to surrender? One is actually meant to take their intelligence and deliberate on it fully before actually surrendering. So now Krishna in 15.5 says that here's what you need to do to just like get your foot in the door into the classroom of surrender. He says, those who are free from false prestige. So that's what Yashodanandana Prabhu touched on with his answer. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, attain to that eternal kingdom. So, half a dozen things were listed here. First one is prestige. So Prabhupada begins his purport by saying, the surrendering process is described here very nicely. So please study this verse, 15.5. The surrendering process described nicely, the prerequisites. First one, prestige. And Prabhupada says, the first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. Pride means being puffed up, wanting honor. And what is that pride that we have? We're proud that we have this facility, this body, etc., to enjoy. The enjoyer mentality gives us pride. That's opposite of the serving mentality. There's two mentalities, exploitation on one side and service on the other side. We're either enjoying or we're serving. And enjoying means exploiting. It means it. Try to think of one form of enjoyment that you're not exploiting either another person, another living entity, a natural resource, your own self. Enjoyment in this world means being guilty of exploitation. And the opposite of that is service. So that's what false prestige means, that we're very proud that I'm the enjoyer. Illusion. The illusion is, Prabhupada says, the false notion that human society is the proprietor of this world. So That's our illusion, that we think this world is here for us to do whatever we want with it. And we don't really see that who the real owner is. Next is false association. And Prabhupada said, that's caused by familial, social, and national affections. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. So because we think we are the owners and the enjoyers, we keep associations based on those false conceptions. And these associations bind us to the material world. Then fourth, so that's three so far, then the fourth qualification is that one should know the eternal. So that means having some bandha gyan, understanding what is the absolute truth, what is myself, what is our relationship. Otherwise, why should you surrender to Krishna if you don't understand his position? Then, fifth, done with material lust. Lust is one of the three gates to hell. Lust, anger, and greed are the three gates to hell, according to Krishna. So done with material lust. Because why? Lust is the opposite of love. So you can't surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means I want to love Krishna. You can't do that if you're going in the opposite direction of lust. And then six, freed from all dualities like happiness and distress, etc., etc. Those things will come, but we're equal-minded through them. That's what it means to be free from dualities. And this will be based on knowledge. Because of knowledge, we can have that mentality. Then, Krishna says, one last thing, that the person not only has to be free from false prestige, free from illusion, free from false association, he has to understand the eternal, done with material lust, freed from material dualities, but he needs one more qualification. He has to know how to surrender. So that's the next step we're going to concentrate on. How to surrender. And this is what we have to accept. We have to accept the fact that we have to surrender. And we have to accept the fact that we have to surrender according to how we're told to surrender. We can't concoct our own way. When Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, he's saying, Arjuna, abandon, potato, all your concocted ideas of what you think are going to get you perfection. Give up all your speculations and your misconceptions, etc., etc., on how you think you're going to attain self-realization or God-realization or liberation, etc., etc. He said it can only be done in one way, and that is surrender unto me. So we might be convinced of that point, but now how do we surrender? So fortunately for us, our wonderful Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have very nicely delineated how to surrender. So there's one verse that appeared originally in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and which is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 100. And this verse exactly tells us how to surrender. So please study this verse, CC Madhya 22.100. Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam, Rakshish yatiti vishvaso, goptritve varanam tata, atmanikshepakarpanye, shadvidha, sharanagati. Translation. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender, and humility. So I'll just read one paragraph of Prabhupada's purport and make a few comments. So Prabhupada says that one who is fully surrendered is qualified with the six following characteristics. So now when we take these six characteristics and look at ourselves, we're going to say, oops, I don't score 6 out of 6. I don't get a 100% score on this exam. What does that tell us? We're not fully surrendered. So here's what, when you look in the mirror, if you're fully surrendered, this is what it will look like. You will have these six decorations on your persona when you look in the mirror. So one who is fully surrendered is qualified with the six following characteristics. One, and this is anukulyasya sankalpa, the devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for the rendering of transcendental loving service to the Lord. So now one might ask, well, like what? What am I supposed to accept? We're supposed to accept activities which are favorable for the devotional service of the Lord. Now, on a very down-to-earth practical level, it might look really different from one person to another. Like, one person might be told, you should take strictly to the brahmachari ashram. That will be favorable for you for devotional service. And another person might be told, you should take to the grihastha ashram. That will be very favorable for you for devotional service. One man's food is another man's poison. So on a very practical, personal level, the activities that we accept may differ from the activities that another devotee might accept. However, there are general rules or prescriptions that we all have to follow. So Rupa Goswami, in his Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, in his third verse, he gives six activities which all of us have to accept in order to make advancement in surrender. So this falls under this category of anukulyasya sankalpa, accepting activities which are favorable for devotional service. Rupa Goswami lists six of them. The first one is utsahan, enthusiasm. That if one is going to do any kind of devotional service for a devotee, for the deity, for Krishna in general, one should do it with great enthusiasm. That means if you're going to do it, then do it, give it your all. Not like a half-baked effort. Don't give 10% and keep 90% back. Enthusiasm means, Prabhupada said, working with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So giving all one's energy, an honest, full effort. That's one of the activities we have to accept. The second activity, utsahan, nishchayat, that one should be confident. Confident about what? Confident about myself? Oh yes, I can do it. You know, the little train that said, I can do it. I think I can. No. Confident that this process of bhakti yoga, it can work for me just like it works for everybody else. It's not that, oh, it works for other people, but it won't work for me. No. It's a proven fact. It can work for anybody. Confident that Krishna will provide everything I need. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. He'll give me the intelligence and everything else I need for that matter to succeed on the path of surrender. Then the third thing Rupa Goswami says we need to accept is daryat, or patience. Not that I'm executing devotional service, practicing the art of surrender, but I don't see standing right now. You know, I've been doing this for 10 weeks and I'm not experiencing, you know, Krishna's darshan in person. Patience means good. Prabhupada gives the example of very expensive nuts like macadamia. You plant a macadamia tree and it comes into maturity, and it takes like something like 10 or 20 years for macadamia nuts to actually appear on the tree for you to actually finally get the fruit of your endeavor. But good things are worth waiting for, right? They're very expensive nuts, too, compared to like peanuts or something. And then the fourth item that Rupa Goswami says we need to accept is Tat Sat Karma Pravartanat, that we should follow the prescribed recommendations, rules, and regulations on how to execute the 9 processes of devotional service: hearing, chanting, meditating, offering worship, offering prayers, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, becoming the Lord's friend, becoming the Lord's servant. That one should follow the rules and regulations, not concoct their own way of performing devotional service. Then the 5th item that Rupa Goswami prescribes is Sangha Tyag, that one should give up all material association. Material association means that association which pulls us down to the material platform, which influences us to come down to the material platform. You don't start a fire with your right hand and then put it out with water with your left hand. You can't have Sangha, Jana Sangha, you know, materialistic association, and make advancement in devotional service. And then the 6th item, he says, is Sato Vritte, that we should follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas. As they do, you do. So these 6 items fall into this category of anukulyasya sankalpa, accepting those activities which are favorable for devotional service. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives 4 activities that we should accept. So this is going to make our list 10. And Jai Jagannath Prabhu already mentioned, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Manmana, just put your mind on me. Just totally absorb your mind in me. And then Bhava Mad Bhakto, just become my devotee. Don't have any other identity. Identify yourself as my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Don't offer your worship elsewhere. Water the root of the tree. And Mam Namaskuru, just pay your obeisances to me. Very simple. So that's the 1st item that we will be decorated with when we are fully surrendered. Anukulyasya Sankalpa. And then the 2nd one, Pratikulyasya Varjanam. Prabhupada said, he must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service. This is also called renunciation. So Rupa Goswami in text 2 of Nectar of Instruction then lists 6 items. We may each reject different things on a personal level again. Somebody may reject, you know, family life. Another person might not reject family life. It's going to differ from person to person. But Rupa Goswami lists 6 things that we all have to reject. So the 1st one he lists is Atyahar. That a person should not, if they're trying to perfect the process of surrender, they should not overeat, overcollect. Because what is that? That's just lust, right? Taking more than we need. We should eat to live, not live to eat. That's the general rule. There's no rule, well, you can only eat 2 chapatis a day. You can eat 12 chapatis a day. Prabhupada said, if you work like a horse, you can eat like a horse. So overeating and overcollecting means that we're taking more than we need. And why is that not good? In the process of increases the I, me, mine mentality, the false ego. And the 2nd item Rupa Goswami lists that we should reject, prayasa, that one should not over-endeavor for mundane things, which are actually very difficult to achieve anyway. And because they're so difficult to achieve, you know, I have to have 3 PhDs and this, that, and I have to have a 7-bedroom house and 4-car garage. And don't over-endeavor. Why? Because it zaps our energy. How can you surrender to Krishna when you're surrendering to lust? That's pretty simple to understand. Then the 3rd item, prajalpa. Prajalpa is usually fueled by what? What fuels prajalpa? Like, when you, what is prajalpa, first of all? What is prajalpa? Useless talk, usually in the category of gossip. So what's that fueled by? Envy. Very bad.
envy.
So envy of the Lord is our root cause of material existence. So we take it out as envy on all of Krishna's part and parcels. So prajalpa, or unnecessary talk, which generally means gossip, which is fueled by envy, should be abandoned, dropped like a hot potato. Then the fourth item that Rupa Goswami says we should reject is niyamagraha, which means we follow the rules and regulations, but we really just do it externally, mechanically, not really understanding what it's all about and why we're doing it, and therefore we don't make any advancement while doing it. So it turns out to be practically a waste of time. Even our sadhana, chanting Hare Krishna, but not paying attention. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but not how to apply it in our life. Attending Guru Puja and singing the song, but haven't the foggiest idea what the translation is. Singing the whole Guru Vastakam at Mangalarti, and it all ends, and you never once meditated on the meaning. Practically a waste of time. I hate to say it harshly, but practically it's a waste of time. Then we're guilty of niyamagraha, following the rules and regulations just for the show of it, you know? I was there and I sang it and everything, but I didn't make any advancement by doing it. And on the other side of the coin, to totally reject the rules and regulations as though, oh, they're not necessary. I'm above it. So this does not, we have to reject this mentality to make advancement on the path of surrender. So that was what, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the fifth one, Janasangha, material association. Association which pulls us down to the material platform, Rupa Goswami says, that needs to be rejected. Because if we associate with materialists, what happens? We adopt their mentality. Are they surrendering to Krishna? No. So then we'll become like that. And then lastly, lolium, or material greed. Lust made us over-endeavor for material things, and then greed says, even though I over-endeavored and I achieved material things, let me get more. It's our death, actually. It's like committing suicide. So that's in the category of Krishna. And again, that doesn't just mean material maintenance, although that is certainly included. It means that Krishna's going to provide everything I need for my devotional service. I need men and money to get something done. Krishna will provide it. I don't have to go to a demigod or a great politician or the Dami Bhuti Yogam Tam. He'll give me the intelligence that I need and everything else that I need for his devotional service. Then number 5, Atma Nikshepa. Self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. So not, oh my Lord, let my desires be your desires, but oh my Lord, may your desires be my desires. Don't go to Krishna with I want, I want, I want, or I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. But go to Krishna with what do you want? And let me think like you want me to think, and desire like you want me to desire. Number 6, Karpanye, the devotee is meek and humble. The attitude. We need no other qualification. It's all 100% attitude. So this is the process of surrender. We asked, how does one surrender? So here in this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the process, we listed first from Bhagavad Gita 15.5, the 6 prerequisites that Krishna says one needs in order to begin the process of surrender. And he concluded with the 7th item saying that, well, after you have these 6 qualifications, now you have to know how to surrender. So here from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita then, these 6 items on what the process of surrender looks like, what we have to do to surrender. And Krishna says, to surrender to me, you surrender to my devotee. So we practice these six items in relation to an advanced devotee. So this is the theory, and as far as practical application goes, you know, Srila Prabhupada really stressed that the Sankirtan Yajna, performance of Sankirtan Yajna, or the Harinam Sankirtan movement, is the best service for practicing surrender. He says in his purport to 1866, one may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna. But such worry is useless. In other words, just do it. Right? So by performing Sankirtan, by trying to go out and somehow or other meet the public, Not, it's easy to sit in our little cocoons here with a captive audience of surrendered souls or people who are trying to surrender and to give a lecture, and you know, that's very easy. Anybody can do it. But try going out to the public, to people who know absolutely nothing about Krishna, nothing about Vaishnava etiquette or what have you. They have no idea how to inquire. They have no idea how to be qualified to even attempt the process of inquiring or surrendering. Face the public. And what will happen when you go out to face the public? You'll be forced by circumstances, by the nature of the thing, you'll be forced to practice the six prerequisites that are required for surrender and the six divisions of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshishyatiti vishvaso, goptritve varanam, atma nikshepa, and karpanye. You'll be forced. And if you don't practice those divisions of surrender while you're out trying to meet the public, what will happen? You'll join the public. And sorry to say, we've seen many devotees out on the Harinam Sankirtan party one day, and the next day they're in the disco having their own jumping up and down. So we do ourselves a big benefit. And this is how we surrender in this age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, right? Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva, gatir anyata. There's no other way but to surrender to the process of Harinam Sankirtan. And it doesn't just mean chanting for ourselves, but bringing the chanting to the public through the form of the holy name, prasadam, book distribution, also very strongly. And by doing this, we can all practice the six divisions of surrender and find ourselves then reaping the benefits of surrender, being freed from the results of fruitive activities, being freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, and most importantly, becoming free from all doubts. Maya sakta manaparta yogam yunjan marashraya. Krishna says, just practice this prescription. And in this age, the prescription is Harinam Sankirtan, preaching. And by doing this, you will become completely free from all doubts. And when you are completely free from all doubts, and you know me in full, then you will surely come to me. So if we can leave this weekend's retreat with this much acceptance, if we can just accept the fact that I have to sarva dharma prityaja mami kam sharanam vraja, I have to, all the ideas I was holding on how I could be happy and attain perfection in this life, and just accept the fact that we have to surrender, and let's help each other remember that point, and then we can actually be best friends, because friends don't want to let friends do things that are bad for them, right? So real friends help each other.
So let's help each other remember this point, that surrender is the only way. And as a team, it makes it even easier than trying to do it as single persons. So we'll end there and see if there's any questions or comments. Okay, well, I guess everybody's fully surrendered. Jai Jagannath Prabhu's not fully surrendered. He has a question. That was just a bad joke. He's actually very surrendered. Because he's always doing Harinam Sankirtan, so... Thank you very much for your question. When we say bhakti, it means real love and devotion. So what we're engaged in is not actually bhakti. We're engaged in sadhana bhakti, which means we're apprentices. We're not carpenters yet. We're just learning how to be carpenters. So we work as an apprentice under an expert carpenter. So we're not bhakti yogis yet, but we're sadhakas. We're practicing sadhana bhakti, bhakti in practice. Similarly, we're not fully surrendered, because real surrender means fully surrendered, just like guru means bona fide guru. So we're not fully surrendered, but we're practicing surrender. So as sadhakas, we're practicing sadhana bhakti, and sadhana bhakti is the process of surrender. When we're fully surrendered, then we can honestly say that we're engaged in bhakti. So Prabhupada uses the word bhakti all the time, but you have to look at it in connotation that often he's referring to sadhana bhakti, not prema bhakti. Prema bhakti means one has already fully surrendered. Well, bhava bhakti means one has fully surrendered and is starting to taste the results, and prema bhakti means one's not only fully surrendered and tasting the results, but they're fully experiencing full-fledged fruits of that surrender. Is that okay? Okay. Well, that's what we listed. We're not fully surrendered, so Krishna, out of his kindness in 15.5, gave us 6 items that we can practice to get our foot in the door. We have to practice being free from false prestige. We have to practice being free from illusion. We have to practice being free of false association. We have to practice being free from lust, material lust, and material dualities. We have to understand the eternal. We have to know how to surrender. So that means we have to perform sadhana. We have to acquire sambandha gyan. And the process of surrender means we take a spiritual master and surrender to him. And we may surrender with great faults and, like, you know, make a bunch of mistakes, etc., etc. But the spiritual master will accept the effort, like a child first learning how to walk. Clumsy, falling all the time, you know, like, sheesh, right? But the parents accept it. Keep on going, you know? But the track team captain doesn't accept it. He's like, kid, get out of here. Come back when you know how to run, right? So our surrender right now, Krishna's not accepting that. He only accepts real surrender and real bhakti and real love. But the spiritual master accepts the burnt cookies that you tried to make, you know, the RT that you offered going counterclockwise instead of clockwise, you know, ringing the bell like this, and going, you know, the spiritual master accepts our half-baked bhakti and half-baked love and half-baked surrender. That's his mercy. And by his accepting it, we get purified, we make advancement, and we do it even better next time. And then the day will come when our bhakti is fully baked. And it's real bhakti, it's real love, it's real surrender, and then we can offer it to Radha and Krishna.
So that's the mercy of the devotees. So we have to keep ourselves in the association of such merciful devotees that accept service from us, even though it's so faulty. We shouldn't take advantage of that, but we should understand that mercy. Is that all right? Something more? You okay? Vrindarani. Directly. He doesn't accept it directly. He accepts it through the spiritual master. I can't go directly to Krishna and offer my cooking, for example, because it's got so much fault in it, like consciousness-wise I'm talking. But I can offer it to the spiritual master. He offers it up the parampara, and then Krishna accepts it. Well, I am saying that. I am saying that. Directly, he doesn't accept it. Who offers things directly to Krishna? Let's make a list. Yeah, Radharani. So when our devotional service is perfect like Radharani's, we can hand it directly to Krishna. When it's not as perfect as Radharani's, we hand it directly to the servant of 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 Radharani. And they hand it to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. That person hands it to Radharani. Radharani slips it into Krishna's hand and says, look what Vrindarani offered you. And Krishna says, really? I accept that. But if you were to go to him, excuse me, Krishna, I have something for you. They put their little elements of mercy in there. You know, it's mysterious. We can't really explain it. You can't offer anything to Krishna. But if you offer to his representative, Krishna accepts it as though he's accepting it directly from you. You get that credit. You still get the credit. So thank you for bringing your question up so we could clarify that point. You do get the credit as though you handed it directly to him. But Krishna says, one who thinks he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. But one who thinks he's worthy of my devotee, he's devotee. That's what surrender means. Surrender to Krishna's devotee. We have to accept that. Too many people try to go to God directly. They haven't accepted the fact that I have to surrender through the Lord's devotee. And we haven't even accepted it, really, when you think about it. How surrendered are we to the Lord's devotees? We're very independent. Time's up. Okay, one last point, and then... Prabhupada made them synonymous. He said... the process of surrender is called bhakti. The more mature the surrender, the more mature the bhakti. So we thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.